Hey everybody, it's your old pals Ian,
Chewy,
Alan,
and Ryan.
And we're here to talk about all the great shows on the Stuff and Things Podcast Network, aren't we, boys?
How many shows? Oh, wait, sorry. Yes, we are. How many shows?
There's four good of job, them, Alan. You're doing four good. Of them, and they come out on all different various days of the week. Of course, every Friday you can listen to the original, the classic Stuff and Things, where Chewy and I just kind of talk to each other like we're best buddies. We just kind of talk like
your best buddies.
Like you just and your best like friends best talk. Like we're best buddies. Like we're best buddies. Yeah. Watch it. You're on thin ice. I have Alan over here.
That's right.
Be friends with Alan.
Yeah, that'll go well.
You can check that out every single Friday if you like hearing conversations that you and your friends would have, but with two total strangers. What else do we have on the Stuff and Things Podcast Network, boys?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Ian.
Alan Selman.
I took a stance here. We have four color commentary.
What's that show about?
I'm about to get to that.
Gee, Alan, what's that show about?
Thank you. I'm so glad you asked. It's a comic book podcast where four comic book nerds talk about books that they bring, sort of like a comic book book club. But we also talk about other things like movies and comic book happenings on top of all that. So it comes out every other Wednesday, which is free, not free comic book day, but it is sometimes. It's just every comic book day.
If your parents are still buying your comic books like they are for me, then it is for comic book day.
It's every other Wednesday that comes out.
Gosh, that sounds great.
Ryan's really excited. Ryan, tell us about the redheaded stepchild of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
The sad, lonely other child of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network is a podcast we like to call Super Action Bros. Podcast where we talk about movies with explosions and car chases and lots of people dying a lot and stuff. It's every Saturday, the most action-packed day of the week with Ryan and Ian.
Yeah, where we take a critical look at those movies that are commonly watched while eating a lot of popcorn and snacks.
Pizza and beer and stuff.
I like those things.
Isn't there one more podcast that we're forgetting about?
Nope, let's move forward.
In the dark recesses of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network, where only the brave dare to dwell.
Not me. I'm out of here.
Yes. I'm here to tell you about you already talked about the redheaded stepchild. I'm here to tell you about the neglected jet black haired
evil
demon ghost. Son of the sun ghost of the network.
The sun ghost?
Yes.
The ghost of the sun?
Exactly.
Oh, I was thinking like a sun ghost, like
son of ghost.
Yeah. It is referred to as Eyes in the Dark, where we talk about horror movies with movie expert Dr. Jurassic Price and the classic and ever velvety voiced Evan is on it too. And of course, because we have busy schedules, it is released every other Monday, the most terrifying day of the week.
Whoa! Monday is legit the most terrifying day of the week.
See, guys, there's something for everyone here on the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Everybody can enjoy a little something here. And we want you to enjoy now. So sit back, relax, get yourself a nice beer or juice box.
Yeah, if you're driving, don't drink beer.
Don't do that.
The juice box is fine.
But what you can do is
root
enjoy.
Root beer, also okay.
What you can do is enjoy another fine Stuff and Things podcast.
Welcome to Super Action Bros, a podcast to talk about movies with explosions and car chases.
They don't
actually play that song in the movie.
I know, they bummed me out. But it was, okay. We watched Doom.
We watched Doom. I'm Ryan.
Hello, I'm Ian. This is week two of Pixels, Polygons, and Punches month, in which we talk about the movie Doom, starring Dwayne Johnson himself, The Rock.
The Rock.
Sort of. But before we get into that, we want to let you guys know some ways you can reach out to us if you like what we do and you want to get involved. Way number one, you can reach out to us by going to our website, superactionbros.com. It's a Tumblr blog, so you can go ahead and click a little plus button on Tumblr. And you could be able to follow us there and get updates on when new episodes come out. And Ryan likes to post funny gift sets. I'm sure he'll find some good ones of one particular portion of this movie.
I hope so.
You can also reach out to us on some various sides. There's some things in the sidebar of that website you can do. Thing number one you can do is subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us reviews. We like seeing those. And that way you can get new episodes on your mobile devices and your computers when new episodes come out right on iTunes. You can also reach out to us via various social media. We do have some social networks we're on. Number one, we are on Twitter. You can reach out to us at Super Action Bros on Twitter, and also individually on Twitter. For me, Ian, it's at iRich. That's at IRITCH.
For me, Ryan, I'm on Twitter too. RYANRUPPE, Ryan Roop.
You can also reach out to us via Facebook and give us a big thumbs up like. We also have another website called Letterboxd, letterboxd.com. It's a movie social media review website, so you can post your own reviews and follow our reviews on there. As well as you can also reach out to us via good old-fashioned American email at superactionbros@gmail.com. And check out some of the other shows at the Stuff and Things Podcast Network at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So, Ryan, Doom. This was your idea to watch this movie.
It was. I remember when this movie came out and the trailer showed part of the sequence in this movie that we're going to just let you know now is the best part of the movie where it's actual first-person shooting. And I was like, wait.
It's actually Doom.
They're actually going to make a Doom movie and it's going to be like Doom. And so since then, even though I've heard various levels of terrible about this movie, I really wanted to see it anyway. Because I wanted to see if they could get it right, at least for, you know, a minute or two, maybe a couple of minutes. So he's 10 years
old. How far some of these actors have come, especially our titular actor. Well, who directed this movie?
So the movie was directed by a guy named Andrzej Bartkowiak, who has also directed, among other things, Romeo Must Die and Devil's Advocate. And
Hold on.
What?
I need to see something.
No, he was not a director of Speed.
Oh my God, really?
He was a cinematographer before that.
Okay.
When he was a cinematographer and a DP, director of photography, he did, you know, U.S. Marshals, Lethal Weapon 4, Dante's Peak.
He's Species, filmed a lot.
He's Speed, yeah. Falling Down.
Oh, man, I love that. That's the
best. Twins.
Falling Down is the best Joel Schumacher movie ever.
Terms of Endearment.
Okay.
Earlier than that. Ooh, some garbage. But in terms of directing, he directed the...
Death Trap.
You know, he directed another video game movie, Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li, the one that starred Lana Lang from the Superman television show as Chun-Li.
What? When did this come out?
It came out in 2009.
What, to direct to DVD?
No, it, you know, was technically released in a theater somewhere. He also directed Cradle to the Grave.
Hold on. We need to watch. Why wasn't I aware of that? We have to do another one of these months now because this actually has some people in it, this Chun-Li movie.
It's true.
Okay, I'm not gonna spoil it. We're gonna
Michael
have to
work Duncan.
Except Neil McDonald. That makes me bothered when the second person in there, it says one character slash another character. Mm-hmm. So is that that doesn't really stick with the video game?
No, that's because of the names of the characters are actually completely different in Japan.
Well, but hold on.
But this movie has the distinction of being the only movie directed by this guy not featuring a rapper.
Okay. All right.
Good. I'm not joking because I had a good friend in college who, like, his thing was watching movies, action movies starring rappers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen all of the other movies because every single other one, Romeo Must Die, Exit Wounds, Cradle to the Grave, those all feature rappers. Mm-hmm. And in Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li, one of the guys from Black Eyed Peas, that's not Will.i.am, is one of the characters.
Oh, okay.
So this is the only one that doesn't feature a rapper, though it does feature a professional wrestler.
Okay.
So, interesting.
Wow, there we go.
The movie was written by a guy, and it was his first movie writing, so we got to be gentle to him. It's the first time he wrote a movie. Other movies that he's written, I'm talking about the writer Dave Callahan. Other movies he's written include The Expendables and The Expendables 2. He got story credit after suing Sylvester Stallone. And Godzilla, 2014.
Godzilla movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's his writing credit.
Okay.
Yeah, besides that, the cast is it starts off big ish and then drops off pretty precipitously. We've got The Rock, Dwayne
The Rock Johnson.
You know, kids nowadays don't necessarily know that he was ever a professional wrestler.
Yes, but he was. Dwayne, yeah. His middle name is Douglas.
But people are like, why do you call him The Rock? It's because he was The Rock.
He was The Rock.
You can smell what he's cooking.
Yeah, he gave the people's elbow.
Right.
If Chewie was here, he'd tell you all about it.
I'm sure he would. This movie also features Carl Urban. Who is,
we've actually
Urban
seen him on our show before.
Almost everything that he's in.
Earlier this year, we saw him in Dread.
That's right. We'd see him in Dread. He's also famously in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
He's the one who rides the horse with the sister.
Yes. You know who else he is?
No.
He's Bones from the new Star Trek movies.
You're right. He is Bones in the new Star Trek movies.
He's.
I like Carl Urban.
I do too. He's pretty awesome. He needs to get more work. Seriously?
He's great in everything
he's in,
but he's always sort of like ignored whenever he's
in. I know. He's so good though. Who else?
The only other really big name star, Rosamund Pike. She is the only woman who has a name in this movie. And she does not pass the Bechdel test, though she does talk to a lady. They're talking about that lady's husband at the time. So, boom, doesn't pass.
There are some other people that have been in other things, though, as bit parts.
True.
We have this guy, Dioba Opari, who's among other things. He was in Moulin Rouge. I knew he looked familiar, but I couldn't place him.
He's in one of the Pirates movies, too.
He's in Pirates. 3. He's in Alien 3. So he's been in some stuff. He's been in an episode of Game of Thrones.
All right.
So he's been in some things. He's a working actor. We have Richard Brake, who honestly I knew I seen him somewhere before and he looked gross. See if you can guess who he is based on the first movie he's known for in IMDb.
Oh, who is he in Batman? Is he the
he's Joe Chill.
He's Joe Chill in Batman Begins.
He's the one who kills Bruce Wayne's parents in Batman Begins.
He seems like just that kind of dirtbag in this movie.
And other than that, I mean a lot of other guys, Al Weaver kid has been the one who's like the young kid, he's been in Marie Antoinette. Let's see. What else?
The guy who plays Pinky is in Kick-Ass.
He's in Kick-Ass, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, apparently.
Yeah.
The Elephant Man? He's been in some things.
Well, wow. Wow, the Elephant Man?
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Let me see if there's anybody else.
He's in Muppets Most Wanted, too.
A lot of actors who are just in these like dark actors. There's Brian. Who was he in Hellboy? Brian Steele. He was in Hellboy. Who is he in Hellboy?
I don't know. I know Doug Jones is in this movie. Speaking of Hellboy, Doug Jones was Abe Sapien in Hellboy. He plays... Mm-hmm. The monsters.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
In this movie?
Yeah. Doug Jones is like anytime there's like somebody needs to move around weird. Doug Jones, I've read about him. He's an actor, but he has a history in mime. Mm-hmm. He's also like really tall, but really skinny. His arms are really long.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever there's like a weird, scary looking monster man in a movie, a lot of times it's him. Like in The Devil's Backbone, Pan's Labyrinth. I'm sorry, in Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh no, he's the Fawn.
He's the scary monster. With
and he's also he's everything. He's probably the Fawn, I'd imagine.
Yeah,
too.
He's everything.
The monster with the eye hands.
Scary as hell.
Scary. I saw that movie by myself.
Did you? I watched it with my wife.
I saw it. I went to the movie theater by myself. Got a big ass thing of popcorn.
It was.
There will be some cursing in this episode. No, there won't be.
It was up to that time the scariest movie I'd ever seen in my whole life.
Well,
I hadn't seen scary movies.
I got a big old popcorn. There was a gun, by the way, in this called the BFG. So
yeah, that's true. The Bioforce gun is what it seems.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, so let's talk about, before we get into the plot and stuff like that, what's your history with the video game Doom?
I was just going
to
ask you that.
We wanted to talk about video games.
I was just going to ask you that. I don't have a huge history with Doom. I mean, I'm aware of Doom. I'm well aware of it, the game. I had it for, when we talked about how I had a 32X. They released the 32X version of Doom, and my dad obviously got it for cheap.
Because it was terrible.
Well, because they tried to because the Sega Genesis version of Doom was pretty bad because the sound wasn't as good as the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it was probably more violent and gory. Actually, no, I think Doom
didn't
Doom
come out
was
the
same.
64.
No, Doom was definitely on
was
Super
right.
Nintendo.
I'm just thinking of Doom 64.
Yeah, but I remember playing Doom. I know there was Doom 2. I know Doom 3 was some popularity. I didn't play Doom all the way. I was just like, I was a kid. I was like, oh, look, I'm going to shoot some monsters. I thought it was too scary.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. We'll get to the lore of the video games. I know a little about the video game.
Yeah.
This was seemed very heavily inspired on Doom 3, which came out at around that time.
Right,
and was super popular.
Yeah.
It was a return to form.
Sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
My history with the video game Doom is I had a friend who had it on his computer.
So you weren't allowed to play it.
When I was a kid, and I knew I wasn't allowed to play it, and was so worried that he's like, hey, let me show you this game. It's awesome. And I was like, oh, is that game Doom? The game's about the devil. I have to leave. And I left. I left his house and went home. couple of years later, I was babysitting my sister and one of her friends as my parents, and that kid's parents like went out, you know, to hang out or whatever. And he was like, "Oh yeah, the password on the computer is this. It's got Doom on it." Like, and I was like,
tempted.
I was like, "Oh no way!" But then it was a DOS machine, and I'd only grown up with Macs, and I had no idea what to do. And I saw a black screen that said C:, you know, caret or arrow.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I was just like, "Well, I guess I'm not gonna play Doom because this is. I have no idea what to do now."
Before a G, they didn't have a G graphic user interface.
It was a DOS machine.
Oh man!
I mean, you could run Windows on it, but it was a DOS machine. That was the way things worked back then, back in 1992.
I remember computers where you had to put in the floppy disk and the game was on it.
Yeah. No, he had a hard drive, but it was still running DOS. I think he was. Like, was now that? That I think about it, now he was a computer nerd. And he was just not my flavor of computer nerd.
Gotcha.
And so I was confused. But I ended up, the kid had like every Gargoyles toy.
Oh.
So I ended up playing with the Gargoyles toys where they watched like Winnie the Pooh or something.
How old were you?
You know, like 10. Now let's see.
They let you with your sister alone at 10?
Oh, she would have been 5. I was 11.
Okay.
I knew how to dial 911. I knew how to microwave pizza. What else do you need?
I don't know. Ability to protect from a murderer. What if one of these demons comes out of the wall?
There's
what are you
locks
do?
On the doors.
Are you just SOL?
Haven't you seen? I was older than Kevin McAllister in Home Alone. Okay, that's fine.
That's fair. But that's my. I mean, I remember history. I know the history of Doom. Like, I understand its popularity, and so many.
It's not the first first person shooter,
but it is the one that like coined the genre.
Big one.
Yeah, I mean, there were fighting games before Street Fighter and before, you know, before Mortal Kombat, but those are
but
the
who
two
cares
that, yeah those yeah. are the two that coined the genre, and this is like the thing. Like, there would be no Halo today, there would be no Gears of War third person, but same idea. Like, well, I guess the violence and the
the run and gun,
yeah, there'd be
gameplay style.
Sure, there might even be no GoldenEye. Oh. Which is my favorite first-person shooter of all time. I'm not a big first-person shooter guy. I get too confused, especially with the dual control sticks.
You know, GoldenEye was developed by Rare, who eventually became... No, I'm not...
No, Rare was developed a lot of stuff, though. They did,
but I was thinking of Bungie, who eventually developed Halo.
But Rare...
Both of them were purchased by Microsoft.
There you go.
So anyway, this movie is called Doom. It came out in 2005.
Yes.
And...
So, brief plot idea.
Well, I mean, the idea, I guess the Doom video game is you're a space marine and you're fighting demons or zombies, demon zombies.
It's a portal to hell is open.
Yeah, yeah.
And demon monsters and people are being possessed and, yeah, on Mars. And it's kind of...
I think that this movie, they did that sort of without all the occult elements.
But see, that's what makes it scary.
I know. But you know, they were committed to the space thing. And so they, you know,
but I don't think it would have detracted.
In 2005, you know, genetics and stuff like radiation was for movies in the 80s.
Remember last? I'm gonna do a call forward here. Remember last time when I asked you how you'd fix a movie?
Sure. I can tell you how I'd fix this movie.
Well, I can tell you exactly how I'd fix this movie, but I'm gonna tell you
talk
later.
About the
we'll get there.
First.
We'll get there. So thing number one. By the way, I'm not gonna lie, you guys. I was kind of fading in and out of this
movie.
Yeah,
you fell asleep.
We watched it together. I wasn't out for very long. I was out for like maybe 30 seconds.
You did
the
same thing that my wife does. Or she's like, oh, you're like, oh, I'm just going to lay down and get comfortable. I'm like, you're going to fall asleep if you do that. Please don't do that. No, I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm just going to be comfortable.
No. Here's the problem. No matter which position I was in, I was going to fall asleep. I was sitting straight up looking at the TV and going, and like falling asleep. So I had to
That's
continue.
Why I had all those pretzels.
The problem was I found a position that was so comfortable that I didn't want to change and I gave up. And my brain, I was like, forget it. Doesn't matter. None of this matters. I'm going to wake up when I hear screaming and one of the guys here died. And then they're going to get to a point where something big's going to happen. And I woke up right when the big thing happened that mattered. And then I was awake for the rest of the movie. Because the part right after that was
incredible. Like, oh, yeah. This is
great. This is the part, that I didn't want to miss.
The problem, let's go with MacGuffin and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So MacGuffin, it's a filmmaking term, Alfred Hitchcock term. Mm-hmm. We use it very loosely. It strictly means the thing everybody's trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
The Lost Ark and Raiders.
Yeah, that's a good example.
This movie.
That's what drives the plot.
Yeah, this movie. What do you think?
Shooting as many things as possible.
Yeah, but I feel like they had an actual MacGuffin.
They're almost like it feel. Well, I mean,
they had a MacGuffin that got them there.
Yeah, well, the sort of it's kind of like
recover the data.
Well, at first it was. At first, the MacGuffin was, hey, stop threat. Bad thing happened. They call in the Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters have to take care of it.
Yeah. Space Marines.
They're Space Marines, but come on. It's like they're Ghostbusters.
But Space Marines sound so cool.
I know, but They're glorified muscle bound ghosts.
There's no ghosts.
Well, there could have been if they would have opened that portal to hell.
So instead they went I almost feel like the MacGuffin became Rosamund Pike.
Yeah.
Like she sort of became the MacGuffin. Save the girl.
Yeah.
Well, which is, you know, sort of appropriate for a video game.
Which, but you know what I did like though? I liked that the movie was, well, the Carl Urban, they make this whole thing about Carl Urban and her having a history.
Yeah.
And so you think you know where it's going and, you know, they're going to be like, they used to be in love.
Or yeah,
used
and
to
then be they're going to get back and kiss.
No, but they're brother and sister.
I liked that twist. That
and was their cute. Parents it was were early. Murdered horribly or some bad yeah, thing yeah, they, happened that they never really say.
They died on the surface of Mars.
Yeah. Like probably like Arnold did in Total Recall.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. He didn't put his hand on that thing. But
that's the best part of the movie.
Oh yeah, it is.
No, but it's way but
there's
early
a,
on.
But there's a good there's actually a cute moment where all the good men are all, how'd you get let this one get away? She's all, she's my sister. Yeah. And they're all and all the Marines are kinda like, oh
yeah.
Sorry.
Well, and you feel like they're gonna get to the hell part because there's a guy in the squad of Marines who like is like it's the same guy like they have him in what's that movie? Is it Angels and Demons or is it one? It's one of those Dan Brown books.
Sure.
That Tom Hanks stars in.
I haven't watched any.
And
of those
they had
movies.
One that was like a well, a, what was it? Is it what can I think of his name?
I don't
what's,
know.
What's Jarvis's name? Vision. What's his name?
Paul Bettany. Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany plays this like. Monk who like flogs himself and he has like a metal brace around his leg and he like tortures himself.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what happens every time this guy takes the Lord's name in vain. He cuts a cross into his arm.
Yeah,
so and you think like,
all scarred
you
up.
Think like, oh man, they're gonna do it. They're gonna open a portal to hell.
I just feel like that was the they're like, oh, this is gonna be our reference to the original Doom because I feel like I think in the later games as video games got more complex, they started having more of a plot and they're like, oh, let's open the gates to the thing to hell thing isn't gonna work. Let's make it aliens.
Okay, but it wouldn't matter if we'll talk about why it won't matter. In
yeah, I don't think it matters.
No,
to be honest.
Well, no,
and I think they spend way too much time on something that doesn't matter, and that's one of my frustrations.
So the whole movie, practically 90% of the movie, is them not knowing what's killing them. And all these Marines are getting picked off one by one.
I'm gonna say it's like 70%, but that's fair. Definitely more than half.
All these Marines are getting picked off one by one.
Yeah.
I would know because the last 20 minutes are the only time where they're not worried about that anymore. Hence why I fell asleep.
It's like 25 minutes.
Okay, great. Out of our 2 hour movie.
Okay, so that's like 70%.
Come on, Ryan.
No, I'm not saying it's 75%. I'm not saying it's 3/4 of the movie.
Ryan, come on.
But anyway. You want me to do math? I'm going to do math.
No.
To you.
But half the movie is the problem with half the movie is like they have all these big guns.
More than half.
And yeah, well, the problem with the majority of this movie is they have all these giant guns and they hardly ever use them.
Yeah, one of the problems with this movie is
although there was surprise boobs and surprise butt.
True.
See that coming.
Have you seen Alien?
Yes.
Have you seen Aliens?
Yes.
So have the people who made this movie, but they hadn't seen it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just kind of like, oh, you know what another movie does very effectively in scary corridors that aren't very well lit. Aliens does that.
Yeah,
let's make this most of this movie just the creeping around part, but without really any of the tension that Aliens gives
you. But the thing
you.
With Alien is the creeping around part doesn't come until about maybe halfway or three-fourths way through the movie.
The majority of this movie is sneaking around in hallways
mm-hmm.
that are not very well lit and whispering to each other over the comlink.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, could you call what The Rock is doing whispering?
Okay, well,
stage whispering.
Where'd
that fire come from? Report in for contact.
I'm going to go get a bigger gun.
The Rock was... I will say this about The Rock's performance. He is literally a living video game character in this. He is like the most staunchly... good. No, there is... I am the old school video game character. There is good and there is bad. Then I will stop the bad.
There is the mission.
Yes.
And I will fulfill the mission.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
There's no value judgment there. It's
I'm saying.
This is my job
okay,
and I will
good
do
good equals fulfill mission. Bad equals fail mission.
Okay, okay.
And die.
It's black and white.
And to the point where... spoiler alert. I'm sure you watched it, or if you didn't, God bless you.
Watch the second half.
Fast forward. Just Google search Doom the best part, and I guarantee you'll find it. But there's a point where The Rock gets pulled through this like I don't know hologram door.
Oh yeah,
you call it like it's.
Yeah, they call it the nano wall.
But anyway, but he gets pulled through and he goes, "I'm not supposed to die."
Yeah, he does.
He literally says that. I was like, that's great.
That's fantastic.
But I mean, everybody else in this, like, basically, it doesn't matter. The first 45 minutes of this movie doesn't matter.
No, no, no. Everybody's the first hour of this movie doesn't matter.
Basically, they figure out all these monsters that are attacking these people are like from some sort of virus. Basically, they were trying
some sort of weird genetic virus. Basically, they're zombie monsters.
They're zombie
people
monsters.
People get turned into zombie
because
monsters.
They tried to. They did.
Some people can handle it, but the rest of the people get turned into scary zombies.
Yeah, I'm into these monsters. And the idea is that there's some sort of, they found some Lucy skeleton that's like the Lucy they found it on Earth. That's the joke. Yeah. And that they, but it's like a prehistoric skeleton that has 24 chromosomes instead of 23. Yeah. And they have super strength. And I know it doesn't matter, but that.
No,
but,
it doesn't.
But that matters for when
our, it matters because maybe it'll give you super strength or maybe it'll turn you into a psycho monster.
Yeah, who knows? So it'll either make you the hero of Doom or one of the bad guys in Doom.
Interesting. Pick, I wonder if that's going to come up later, right at the end. but I mean, this movie.
There's some pretty gruesome deaths in here, though. People getting their heads slapped off.
The first half of this movie tries to be like a jump horror movie.
Yeah.
Like slasher in space. It tries to be Alien.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I don't feel like it successfully gets the atmosphere right. Also, it looks bad.
Yeah,
it does. I don't understand, like, the production qualities in the first hour of this movie and the production qualities in the last half hour of this movie are just unbelievably different. Like, the first half of this movie looks Universal Soldier bad.
Yeah, it does.
It, like, the guns look like guns, and there are some parts that play clever reference to the movie, to the video game, which is neat. Like, when he goes and gets the BFG, and it's just sort of floating there between two points, exactly like a gun would be floating in a video game.
Uh-huh.
Or, like, another part where they're, like, running through a corridor and all of them have all these guns hanging off of them, which is a great joke because everybody always has a million different weapons to switch to in a video game.
Yes.
Like, there's little parts like that that are really good. Mm-hmm. I really like the part where they're getting into the helicopter and everybody's call signs are logging on their gun.
Yeah.
Because it seems like when you start a level, you're like, oh, I'm
logged in.
Yeah. You got your little username, Reaper, or, you know,
Duke,
Death Man,
Sarge, or
Captain Fart, you know. Did you ever play video games when you were 12?
Could you imagine if in this movie they literally went that route? They're like, Captain Fart is,
that would have been amazing.
Names.
That guy would have died.
Yeah. Well, they all died except for one.
Yeah, except for
spoiler alert, everybody in this movie dies.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
with the exception of Carl Urban.
And his sister.
And his sister.
But, make it out. But I mean, like, those are parts of the movie that I feel like video game nerds were stoked about.
Mm-hmm.
Those are parts of the movie that, because there are a lot of little nods to what it's like to play a video game like this, that the movie does right. That Mortal Kombat just threw out the window and then pooped on and then set on fire.
Yeah, this does. This was honestly, I was gonna rate it super low, and then the last part happened.
Right, and we're holding off because we're so excited about it
because it's the best part
about
of
all
movie,
the things the movie fails
don't
to
like.
Do. But the movie tries, like, well, it literally spends more than an hour trying to build atmosphere and not succeeding.
Who cares about this plot? Once they find out it's monsters, it doesn't matter. Like, oh, are they? Is it the extra chromosome?
Turns out it's monsters.
Yeah, that's what it needs to be. It needs to be. Oh my god, there are monsters here. Evacuate everybody. Let's blast them.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could literally cut out half of an hour.
They also tried to do that, and the proof is in the pudding when it comes to that scene where The Rock, spoilers, shoots the rookie kid.
Yeah,
they tried to make it The Thing as well.
Yeah,
because The Thing becomes at a certain point. Well, which one of us is it?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, this guy, I feel like there was a part of it where there was a version of the script where that kid turned into a monster after he shot him because he had gotten bitten or something.
Yeah.
And then they go and try to find the people he was talking about, they're all
like
monsters.
A moral dilemma kind of thing.
Yeah, but
lame. They reference too many other horror action movies.
Yeah.
But those references are ineptly done.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And it's kind of sad because they take so long to do that. That, I mean, honestly, I can imagine, like, trying to watch this movie. Like, if this movie's on Netflix or something and I was trying to watch it, I would have just turned it off halfway through. I would have missed the best part.
I probably would have fallen asleep. And 100% if I hadn't forced myself to wake back up. You probably would have paused the movie and be like, whoa, and shook me and be like, hey,
Ian,
wake
you
up.
You need to watch this part. You'd have been like, oh, no, this movie sucks. Okay, so
hey, to be fair, you tell me how you doze off all the time.
It's true.
I've never dozed off.
I don't doze off at strangers' houses.
But I've never dozed off before to a movie on this show. If I do, I stop the movie and I wake up later and I watch it later.
Right.
This is the first time I get one mulligan, Carey Mulligan. Who's not in this movie.
No.
Anyway, every time I say Mulligan, I always think Carey Mulligan.
Oh, dude.
Okay. Okay. I think we'll off long
enough. Then there's this weird dimensional portal, and there's this guy who's on it, like, sort of connected to a wheelchair, and turns out his name
have a portal that gets them to Mars.
Right. And then back to Earth into the quarantined underground facility right outside of 29 Palms or whatever. But also, apparently, that guy, his name is Pinky, and that's the name of a monster in Doom that's a half robot, half monster.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is, and he becomes that later. That's a reference to the video game. All right, so let's talk about the good part. He's involved in the good part. So the good part is
Urban gets injected with this serum.
He's basically dying because he just disagreed with The Rock, and The Rock got eated, and he said, "I'm not supposed to die."
And then he accidentally shot himself because he shot the wall, and the wall reflected the bullet and hit him.
And so he's dying, and so Rosamund Pike is like, "Well, the only way I can save you is by injecting you with this thing that'll either turn you into a crazy monster or a superhero or a superhuman." But I know you and you're good, and so it's gonna work.
And there's
just a little bit of like past and quasi history, and they do it. It's actually a really light touch. It could have been a lot more heavy handed.
I love when he opens that window and they're screaming. I made this joke and my roommate Matt was watching. There's this window where it says like caution. It has like window blinds.
Yeah.
And like shows the outside of Mars. It says caution. And he starts hearing like childhood laughter. And I go, uh oh, memories. Yeah. Don't open it.
That's what happens. That happens like one other time.
Oh yeah. And those memories come flooding back.
Like it's almost like too light because it's like a joke. It's like, oh haha, this is the memory part. Right. So then she injects him with a thing and he passes out, and then the screen goes black, and then we see him laying on the floor with his eye open, mm-hmm. and the camera goes into his eye, and then we are in his point of view.
Yes. And it's for 5 to 10 minutes.
It's 10 minutes.
It's a first person shooter. It looks like Doom.
But suddenly the production quality goes up 1,000,000%.
I don't think it does. I think that the lighting makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Because the lighting the entire movie is black and blue, and suddenly it's orange and red, and it looks just like the video game. And it looks like a first-person shooter. It also looks kind of like a crappy first-person shooter. It looks like Doom. it looks like a crappy first-person shooter that you play in the arcade that had like those kind
of
like they
oh, like
filmed,
House of the Dead
they
or
filmed,
something?
Yeah, they filmed, no, not even. The ones like where
one
they
of
filmed
those
real
games
people.
On rails. Oh,
and then,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
They, oh, they
Full
filmed, like,
motion
animation.
Video.
It looks like a Sega CD game is what it looks
game.
Like.
But oh man! But he just tears through this complex, and now everybody's an evil zombie.
Oh,
and
he's shooting
just
everybody!
Shooting everybody, and then he loses his gun and gets a chainsaw. Oh man! And then he's fighting a monster and it knocks him
well,
down.
Well, one of the monsters has a chainsaw.
Yeah. And then that's not the one he catches on fire. He gets a different one on fire.
Yes.
But it's got the great thing where you're going down a hallway and you turn right, look at the hall. Keep going.
It's literally
a
video game. And my question is this, Ryan, and this is thing number one. There's two things I would improve about this movie.
All right.
One, make the whole movie like this.
Apparently the part was really expensive and difficult to shoot.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, but doesn't matter. You know what you can do? Make the whole movie like that. Show the entire movie from the same movie. You can show the same thing from his perspective, maybe cut out some of the more dialogue parts, but have him going through and have him turn corner. Like, if somebody could do that for an hour and a half in front of a television, there's no reason they can't do that in a movie for an hour and a half.
Yeah,
and they show Carl Urban's face once.
Yeah, he looks into a mirror.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in the movie, they show Carl Urban's face once.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, or maybe, okay, maybe
no, they show it a couple of times because at one point he turns and shoots. But it,
or maybe
it just goes
you, or maybe
ding,
you
it
put,
like
or maybe, or maybe if you don't want to go that
face.
Far, maybe you don't want to go that far. Maybe you just switch into first person view for all the people.
Yeah, or
so
every
when
so
they're
often.
When they're gonna get when they're gonna get killed, you see the first person view death.
Oh yeah. Oh man.
And then they have some sort of eye insert that's how they say
it
says like offline or something
it.
Or game over or something like that.
They keep referring to it,
we got a game, we got a map, like we got a game, you guys. And like, you know that they would be the morbid kind of Marines that would say game over on their screen when they die. Like, come on, guys. It's right there.
And
it's right there.
Oh, but that whole sequence is so cool.
Yes.
And it's so intense compared to like the nothing that the movie has been up to that point.
And as
that it's mind blowing.
It's so good. You're like, this is amazing. Why didn't they do the whole movie this way? And then they cut back to normal.
But
the action sequences is great.
But then The Rock has been bit. And he's the bad guy.
Yeah,
and now it's Carl Urban and The Rock. Both of them have superhuman monster
powers.
The
one's turning into a monster.
And one of them's turning into a monster as they fight.
Here's the thing I wish he would have turned into, though. The one monster... Well, they have two monsters they didn't get from the game.
Yeah.
One was the big, fat, floating head dude thing.
Which would have been difficult to do and would have looked hokey.
Doesn't matter. That one would have been bad. You're right. This one, though. Oh, by the way, we forgot to mention. Yeah, he fights the dude with has like the bottom half of him ripped
off.
Yeah,
he turns into a monster.
And he's like half. He still has the wheelchair attached to him, so it's like it's super like crazy awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that part's crazy.
But the part that what I wish they would have done is they could have turned the Rock into one of those dudes that was like the horned demon like the I don't know if they're like centaur almost, like they have like hoof legs.
Like, I feel like just turn him into
work.
A demon. They could have made that work.
They were on their way to it. Yeah, they were on their way to it. He was so close.
Eyes were glowing.
Like, and other things had horns growing out of them.
That's true. They could have just given him those Hellboy horns from that one scene in Hellboy. It would have looked awesome.
Oh man, he would have just been jumping around and fighting around and
exploded.
Oh man.
But that battle, that fight between the two of them,
that's pretty good.
It works well, not as first person.
Right.
Because it's a well choreographed fight. And let's be honest, The Rock knows how to do fake fighting.
Oh, that was the part, the first person part that I really liked, when that guy just jumps up out of nowhere. He just jumps up from the bottom, like just to scare you. Like, that's the purpose of it.
Yeah.
Oh man, that one part is so good.
The fight with The Rock.
So
the fight with The Rock is really good too.
Yes. But if there's one part of the movie you got to watch, you got 10 minutes on your hands.
Yeah, you got to watch the first person.
Gee, I wonder what Doom's like, and you want to watch the best part of Doom? Just Google it. It's so good. You know, nobody cares about Doom anymore, so it's got to be on YouTube somewhere. And that gives me proof, like, oh, you can do a video part of a movie, like we're getting closer,
like a video game.
We're getting closer.
And the thing is, like, this is a big difference between 2005 and now. Now we have things like Twitch TV, where you can literally just watch someone play a video game.
Yeah,
and I do it, and it is entertaining. It's the thing that I always loved to do when I was a kid. I would invite my friends who were good at video games over, so I could watch them get to levels that I would never get to on my own.
You should watch somebody play Five Nights at Freddy's. You'll have fun.
No, that game's not fun.
Yes, it is.
No, I can watch.
Don't like scary.
I've never played Shadow of the Colossus, but one day during lunch, I was like, "Well, I'm bored, and I've been really wanting to play that game, I'm terrible at boss fights, so I'm just gonna watch someone else play it."
But it's not even really a boss fight.
But the point is, you don't have to play a video game. You can watch other people do it. And like, the proof is in the pudding. Millions of people love to watch other people play video games.
But see, the one thing I don't like about Twitch is you have to get the commentary of the people playing it.
You can push mute.
Yeah,
I've discovered.
But I want to hear the sounds of the game.
Yeah, fair. But I mean, I feel like the market now could definitely sustain a movie that is mostly first person shooting.
Yes, absolutely.
And it would look awesome.
I think enough of the people who would be like, I don't want to see that movie, will actually go and see it. Like, if they made, heaven forbid, they make a Halo movie one day, which they probably will eventually at some point. I know that there's talks at Universal about having
there have been
a
lot
time.
Of rumors.
They'll hopefully do something like this, at least in one. But I think a Halo movie could stand on its own a little bit better.
Yeah,
because it's as much as I'm not a big Halo guy.
As long as they didn't spend a whole lot of time on the backstory, because that's the other thing with Doom and Halo and all those games is you don't have an hour of cutscene before you get into the movie.
Halo, you get some story.
You get some story, but the thing is, the first thing you do is you are dropped into the game and you have to run around because stuff is shooting at you.
Yeah,
and you have to shoot at the stuff. This movie doesn't start with stuff shooting at you. You have to shoot at the stuff. It starts with exposition, and then more exposition, and then walking around.
And I think you can get that exposition in there if you were to put it like, all right, rookie, you're out here on the thing. But
while we're shooting stuff, while stuff is being blown
or
up.
Or even if you're just doing the first person walk, and then you walk in and they explain a little bit, and they're like, all right, let's go search the area.
But I feel
like
if this movie had just started with the because, I mean, the movie's called Doom.
Yeah.
You expect it to be wall-to-wall
action. It's not.
And if they had just started the action way earlier in the movie, it could have been a better movie.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
And you know what? I was thinking about it. Some of the effects were pretty neat. There was a lot of practical effects that they used in this
movie,
which was cool.
I mean, for that time period, that was like right on the verge. We're talking about like in Daredevil with the rat.
Yeah, that was two years after Daredevil.
But we're still like, they're still on the verge of mostly using practical versus, you know.
No, I think that people had started using all really bad CG effects.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And so I think, from what I read, they made a decision in this movie to use a lot of practical effects. Mm-hmm. And some of the effects are really cool, like the part where they have the monsters halfway trapped through that wall, mm-hmm. and it's clearly like a puppet, like instead of like CG. Mm-hmm. Like it gives it more dimension.
And there
was
a CG part in this movie that didn't look half bad.
Yeah. Well,
the part with the wheelchair guy, that was fake, but that didn't look half bad.
Yeah, so this movie.
I feel like they just took the game graphics. They're like, why don't we just do the game graphics? Why don't we just put whatever the game. Because that's how Doom 3 looks.
Yeah.
That's how it looks. This movie is pretty bad for the most part.
Yeah.
For the most of it. It's not Mortal Kombat bad.
No, it's not. It's a serviceable movie. Yeah. It functions. It works.
Yeah.
But it's just like,
I wish it was more self-aware.
Agreed.
I wish that there was more lines like, I'm not supposed to die. Like that.
Well, I mean, we get the BFG and it's called the BFG.
But he doesn't ever say it's a big effing gun.
No. Yes, he does.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, when he sees it the first
time. Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I didn't hear him say it.
Yeah.
They must have turned it down in the audio.
Yeah.
But okay, so Ryan, let's do this. What's your final? Well, you didn't watch it with your wife. You watched it with me.
No, I did.
And I was the sleepy one.
You kind of fell asleep.
So. I was the snoozy one.
I don't know if I would watch this entire movie again.
I would not.
But I would definitely watch that last, like the first person. I would just and like, probably the Carl versus the Rock fight.
Yeah, but I would just I would just be like, hey, you guys want to see something awesome that a movie did one time that you didn't ever see before? And they're like, and I showed somebody that, and they'd be like, oh my god, that's so cool! We should watch the whole movie. I'm like, no, that was it. That was the good part.
I feel like
go
this
on
is,
with your day.
I feel like this is the kind of movie that you could watch with friends while you're playing a game.
There's got to be some sort of drinking game with this.
Like not like while you are consuming massive amounts of alcohol, because you don't want to be drunk during that scene because you'll miss it.
No, but
I feel
okay.
Like you could be playing Space Marines. You could be playing Space Hulk and be watching this movie, mm-hmm. and then kind of ignoring it, and it's just atmosphere until we get to that part and be like, all right, guys, pause the game. Let's watch this good part of the movie. but I feel like it's like a one-time thing. Like, yes. You do that once, and then you're like, well...
You know what? I'll be honest with you. No, I'll be honest with you. I'd like to watch that sequence again.
Okay, that's.
I'd like to watch it right now again. I'd like to go through the iTunes rental that I had, go to the scene, pick that part, and just watch that sequence again, and maybe two more times.
All right. Because
it was pretty fun.
Yeah,
I was really excited at that point. I had like all my energy was back. I was like, all right, this is gonna be great.
Yeah.
But
I feel like, I mean, when we talk about our overall lackluster versus blockbuster, I feel like it's. Lackluster,
yeah,
until the last half hour.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I agree. But what's your numerical rating?
Man, this is a tough one to rate because that scene is so incredible. But then you average that out over the whole movie, and it's
well, we have to rate the movie as a whole. Like, I mean, that scene is probably like a 9 in my book
for
video game effectiveness.
Easily,
Subtracting the rest of the movie from that 9.
Yeah, I would say. Probably give this movie a 3 3 laser tag gun sequence out of 10.
Three
cool call signs written on the side of your gun
out of 10. I would say I was going to give it like a 2 until I saw that sequence, and that boosted it up to me to like a 4.
All right,
that's so fair. It's a solid 4. It gives you 2 points there. Wow. Because the rest of that movie is just boring as
it
heck.
Is.
It's not even an effective scary movie.
Yeah. The characterization is pretty bland.
Yeah. I mean, like, for all the deaths that the Final Destination series gets away with, this should have been able... I guess the only reason this one did is because they don't usually use giant guns to blast holes in people in those movies.
True.
But those deaths in those movies are gruesome as heck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say 4.
This movie does have surprise boobs. I don't know.
It does. We mentioned that. Surprise boobs and surprise butt.
Yeah.
I would say 4 giant monsters from the video game wielding a chainsaw that you can use against them out of 10.
Right.
So guys, that is due. And we obviously said lackluster.
It's
overall
lackluster.
But if you have 10 minutes at work on YouTube,
watch that scene
and just have fun.
It's awesome.
And even better, mute the sound in it and just put the original Doom music on. It's way more fun.
Yeah.
That is Doom. And that is our show for the week. We want to thank you for listening to us. So that's week 2 down. We have 2 more weeks to go. Ryan, I'm going to let you, because we sandwich these movies, I let you kind of pick the 2 middle ones, because first and the second one, first and the last one, I'm very adamant about. So what movie are we watching next time, Ryan?
We were watching the only movie I've ever snuck into.
Really?
Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Ooh, starring Angelina Jolie,
daughter of
John Voight, who was also in the movie, if I remember correctly.
Pretty sure he is. I don't remember.
This is that song.
I haven't seen this movie since I saw it in the theater.
Yeah. Well, we will watch it again. So get ready to join us next time when we watch Tomb Raider. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster, we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.